Having affairs he must see to before he left Ifish, Vetch went off to other villages of the island with the lad who served him as prentice sorcerer. Ged stayed with Yarrow and her brother, called Mura, who was between her and Vetch in age. He seemed not much more than a boy, for there was no gift or scourge of mage power in him, and he had never been anywhere but Ifish, Tuk, and Holp, and his life was easy and untroubled. Ged watched him with wonder and some envy, and exactly so he watched Ged. To each it seemed very queer that the other, so different, yet was his own age, 19 years. Ged marveled how one who had lived 19 years could be so carefree. Admiring Mura's comely, cheerful face, he felt himself to be all lank and harsh, never guessing that Mura envied him even the scars that scored his face, and thought them the track of a dragon's claws and the very rune and sign of a hero. The two young men were thus somewhat shy with each other, but as for Yarrow, she soon lost her awe of Ged, being in her own house and mistress of it. He was very gentle with her, and many were the questions she asked of him, for Vetch, she said, would never tell her anything. She kept busy those 2 days making dry wheat cakes for the voyagers to carry, and wrapping up dried fish and meat and other such provender to stock their boat, until Ged told her to stop, for he did not plan to sail clear to Celador without a halt.
"Where is Celador?"
"It's very far out in the western reach, where dragons are as common as mice."
"Oh, best stay in the east, then. Our dragons are as small as mice. There's your meat, then. You're sure that's enough? Listen, I don't understand. You and my brother both are mighty wizards. You wave your hand and mutter, and the thing is done. Why do you get hungry, then? When it comes supper time at sea, why not say, 'Meat pie,' and the meat pie appears, and you eat it?"
"Oh, well, we could do so, but we don't much wish to eat our words, as they say. Meat pie is only a word, after all. We can make it odorous and savorous and even filling, but it remains a word. It fools the stomach and gives no strength to the hungry man."
"Wizards, then, are not cooks,"
said Mura, who was sitting across the kitchen hearth from Ged, carving a box lid of fine wood. He was a woodworker by trade, though not a very zealous one.
"Nor are cooks wizards, alas," said Yarrow, on her knees to see if the last batch of cakes baking on the hearth bricks was getting brown. "But I still don't understand, Sparrowhawk. I have seen my brother, and even his prentice, make light in a dark place only by saying one word, and the light shines. It is bright. Not a word, but a light you can see your way by."
I get answered. "Light is a power, a great power, by which we exist, but which exists beyond our needs in itself. Sunlight and starlight are time, and time is light. In the sunlight, in the days and years, life is. In a dark place, life may call upon the light, naming it, but usually when you see a wizard name or call upon something, some object to appear, that is not the same. He calls upon no power greater than himself, and what appears is an illusion only. To summon a thing that is not there at all, to call it by speaking its true name, that is a great mastery, not lightly used, not for mere hunger's sake. Yarrow, your little dragon has stolen a cake." Yarrow had listened so hard, gazing at Ged as he spoke, that she had not seen the Hareki scuttle down from its warm perch on the kettle hook over the hearth and seize a wheat cake bigger than itself. And she took the small, scaly creature on her knee and fed it bits and crumbs while she pondered what Ged had told her.
"So then you would not summon up a real meat pie, lest you disturb what my brother is always talking about. I forget its name.
Equilibrium," Ged replied soberly, for she was very serious.
"Yes, yes, but when you were shipwrecked, you sailed from the place in a boat woven, mostly of spells, and it didn't leak water. Was it illusion?"
"Well, partly it was illusion, because I am uneasy seeing the sea through great holes in my boat, so I patched them for the looks of the thing. But the strength of the boat was not illusion, nor summoning, but made with another kind of art, a binding spell. The wood was bound as one whole, one entire thing, a boat. What is a boat but a thing that doesn't leak water?"
"I've bailed some that do," said Mura.
"Well, mine leaked too, unless I was constantly seeing to the spell." He bent down from his corner seat and took a cake from the bricks and juggled it in his hands. "I, too, have stolen a cake?"
Well, you have burned fingers then, and when you're starving on the wastewater between the Far Isles, you'll think of that cake and say, had I not stolen that cake, I might eat it now. Alas!
I shall eat my brother's, so he can starve with you.
Thus is equilibrium maintained, Ged remarked, while she took and munched a hot half-toasted cake,
and this made her giggle and choke. But presently, looking serious again, she said,
I wish I could truly understand what you tell me. I am too stupid.
Little sister, it is that I have no skill explaining. If we had more time...
We will have more time. When my brother comes back home, you will come with him for a while at least, won't you?
If I can, he answered gently. There was a little pause, and Yarrow asked, watching the Hareki climb back to its perch,
Tell me just this, if it is not a secret. What other great powers are there beside the light?
It is no secret. All power is one in source and end, I think. Years and distances, stars and candles, water and wind and wizardry, the craft in a man's hand and the wisdom in a tree's root, they all arise together. My name and yours and the true name of the sun or a spring of water or an unborn child, all are syllables of the great word that is very slowly spoken by the shining of the stars. There is no other power, no other name.
Staying his knife on the carved wood, Mura asked, What of death?
The girl listened, her shining black head bent down. For a word to be spoken, Ged answered slowly, there must be silence before and after.
Then all at once he got up, saying, I have no right to speak of these things. The word that was mine to say I said wrong. It is better that I keep still. I will not speak again. Maybe there is no true power but the dark.
And he left the fireside and the warm kitchen, taking up his cloak and going out alone into the drizzling cold rain of winter in the streets.
He is under a curse, Mura said, gazing somewhat fearfully after him. I think this voyage he is on leads him to his death, the girl said. And he fears that. Yet he goes on.
She lifted her head as if she watched, through the red flame of the fire, the course of a boat that came through the seas of winter alone and went on out into empty seas. Then her eyes